Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill, sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. I am a former Florida State legislator from the Panhandle area, Pensacola. I served for 5 years in the Florida State House. I'm a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency. Before that, I spent 10 years active duty in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy. And joining me today is Chris Hughes. Chris is the founder and chairman of the Citizens for American Foundation, one of the nation's leading advocacy and grassroots public policy organizations. Chris is a powerful communicator, is a Christian political advocate, Second Amendment defender, Christian apologist, and he's an author. He is the host of The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Chris, thank you for joining us today, and want to let the audience know that we are hosting the show today on behalf of Dr. Youngblood, whose son passed away after complications of COVID-19, complications that didn't seem to improve once he was admitted into the hospital. You prayed for him as faithful servants of the living God. And we saw many good things happen while he was in the hospital. But the protocols that he experienced there were unable to help him overcome the COVID disease, and he passed away yesterday. So we ask that you please continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family, and the comfort that can only come from the living God himself with that family. Before the break, we were talking about how the military is mandating that young men and women in the military be forced to take the vaccine mandate. Mandated to take the COVID-19 vaccine. And what we are finding is that there are many, many who are refusing to take this vaccine for various reasons. And what they're finding is that the bottom line is most of those who are refusing this happen to be conservative Christian men and women serving in the military who do not want to take it. And so they're being forced out. And because they're being forced out, we see this as perhaps a takeover of the U.S. military, which, by the way, Chris, that started back under the Obama administration. If you'll recall, many high-level officers, generals, colonels, lieutenant colonels, were being forced out of the military. They were being fired by Obama and were being replaced by those who we see in office now, including this horrific chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, who should be tried for treason because of the crime he committed of calling China and telling them, don't worry about Trump. We have him under control. He's talking about the commander-in-chief, Milley's boss. Don't worry, we have him under control. And if we are going to attack you, we'll let you know. That is treason. And Biden has come out and said that, oh, I stand behind Milley. That's beside the point. He committed a crime. If Milley had murdered somebody and here's Biden saying, oh, I stand behind him, that doesn't change the fact that he committed a crime. He should be tried under the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice, and if found guilty, then he should face the penalty for what he did. But just to be absolved of what he did is inexcusable. We go back to this article now, which talks about the takeover of the U.S. military. And this article was written by Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council. It goes on to say, a takeover, House and Senate Republicans have vowed they will never allow. While the president moves forward with the force-wide coercion, Congressman Mark Green, Republican out of Tennessee, and Senators Roger Marshall, Republican out of Kansas, Ted Cruz from Texas, James Lankford, and Tommy Tuberfield, all Republicans out of Alabama, are doing everything they can to protect the conscientious objectors. If the military resorts to booting service members over the vaccine, at the very least, the Republicans argue, they deserve an honorable discharge. No American who raises their hand to serve our nation should be punished for making a highly personal medical decision. As a doctor and veteran, this is Senator Green speaking, he has been adamant that our brave men and women shouldn't lose their benefits over Biden's inflexible mandate. Chris, I have several friends in the military, both here locally and some in Washington, D.C., who are saying that they do not want to take the vaccine and have requested that their reason for not taking it was for religious convictions. And Chris, I'm being told that they are being denied their strongly held religious conviction beliefs and are told that if you don't take the vaccine, you will be dishonorably discharged. Now, when you're dishonorably discharged, that is a felony, which now makes it very difficult for you to get a job once you leave the military. Chris, that is insane. And what these Republican senators are now saying is that they at least want to have that changed to where if they do leave, it will be an honorable discharge, which in my mind, Chris, they should not be forced to leave at all. What are your thoughts on that?
You're exactly right, Mike. The current administration just has a disdain for the military, and they were part of the Obama administration, and many people believe that President Obama and his crew are still running the show today. My wife, I'm going to probably get in trouble for this. My wife was in the military during the Obama administration days, and what you said a while ago is exactly true. She was a group commander in the Air Force and just did not like what she was seeing in the military. As a colonel, she was being required to start to do things that were against her conscience, and she just refused to do it, so she got out. And you had a lot of people that were getting out at that time, and then during the Trump administration, you had a president who loved the military. He showed respect to the military, because these people put their lives on the line for our country. And now we're back to the disdain again. And I think they're just trying to get rid of anybody that loves our country, and particularly those that love the Lord. And this is wrong. There is nothing dishonorable about not taking a vaccine. You know, if they want to get rid of the people that don't want to take the vaccine, then give them a window of time where they can get out of the military. And I appreciate these senators who are saying they're going to fight for an honorable discharge. And, for those of you who are not in the military listening, you might not understand, but as Mike said, this is a big deal. It brands you basically as a criminal. And on many employment applications, it asks if you were in the military and if you left, if you had an honorable or dishonorable discharge. And most places are not going to hire you. So the president is basically making it where no one can work. And it can even be treated, Mike, in some cases, it could be a criminal offense. I mean, if they choose to say that these officers are disobeying orders, which they're going to do, it's coming. If they say you're disobeying orders, then you could be arrested for this.
That's right. Here's the thing, though, Chris, it as you know, being in the military, and I was also, it has to be a lawful, legal order. So here you are being ordered to take this experimental vaccine. Is that considered lawful and legal? Well, who knows? That's to be decided by those with legal minds and in the courts.
Well, but in the military, Mike, so then the question is, you know, as you know, a court martial is not by a civilian court. So if it's deemed by the commander in chief that this is required and that it's a lawful order, then possibly the judges within the legal system within the military. And again, it's not a civilian court. It's a military court. And the rules are different there. And they're probably, you know, to protect their careers, are going to deem that it's a lawful order.
No, you're absolutely right, Chris. That's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join the conversation today, you can call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Chris, let's change direction just a little bit from the military, and let's go now to the civilian population. And let's talk about the vaccine mandates, who will comply and why. And I'm reading from an article here from the Mises Wire. The Mises Institute is out of Auburn, Alabama, a conservative think tank which focuses on primarily economic issues that affect our nation and what's called Austrian economics. They are very conservative when it comes to keeping government out of our economic system as much as possible. And here's an article that was written by Jovana Dikovic, and I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce that correctly. And the article goes on to say this, that there are now COVID certificates that are being used in large parts in Europe. And the purpose of these COVID certificates is to make the life of the unvaccinated more difficult and hence to exert additional pressure toward vaccination. The author is exactly right. The purpose is to make life more difficult for those who do not want to be vaccinated. The main assumption is that if people feel their quality of life is impaired through an inability to go to restaurants, theaters, to attend or take part in sporting activities, and so on, then this response would be easiest way out, that is to get the vaccine. Surely, they will act as expected and get the vaccine. Chris, we have a caller on the line. John, thanks for calling.
Yeah, Mike, Chris, happy Wednesday. Call,
hey, John, we're glad that you called in.
Yep, and I'm sorry what you're with Dr. Youngblood's family and stuff like that. I know Gene's in a better place, but still, there's a piece of their family that's gone right this second. So pray for their family for their grieving that they're going through. I watched a video. It was yesterday, Dr. Jane Ruby. I don't know if y'all have seen it or not. It's in reference to the Corona Committee conference and all the things that they have found that's in the vaccines, all of the vaccines. And I had somebody that showed me a picture. I think I mentioned this the other day when I called. He had a butter knife stuck to his arm, and his arm was down. And he had heard that there were metallic particles in the vaccine. And so for some unknown reason, this butter knife, not a big knife, but this butter knife was stuck to his arm. So if there's all these side effects, all these people that are dying, I tried to put this video on to send it to somebody, and I couldn't do it instant message. They wouldn't allow me to do it. So if all this stuff's being covered up, and our first responders and our military personnel are being made to get this. Now, I'm not sure if first responders are, but I know the military, they're trying to do it. So our first line of defense is military, and then they're given this vaccine that who knows what kind of side effects would be. And we, our military is there to protect us, but if they're infected with something that's going to actually have some harm to their health, then where are we going to be? So it's this time is a little interesting. It's we're seeing the end coming about. I guess we've kind of figured it was going to be a while, but it seems to be put in faster motion. Hopefully there's going to be something that's going to take place to where supposedly with this Corona Committee conference that was going on, they were going to be doing something to try and see if we could get these people that they're violating laws by trying to basically murder people. So thank you very much for what y'all are doing. I'll go back to listening.
John, thank you so much for calling. You're right. It's not just the military. I have two kids in college, and most colleges and universities across the nation are requiring students to take the vaccine. So if you want to receive a degree or get some higher education, and many colleges and universities, you're going to have to take the vaccine or you're not going to be able to go to school. And there's a huge issue in the healthcare industry right now. Nurses, doctors, and others are being forced to take the vaccine in order to keep their jobs. Well, we already have a shortage of doctors and nurses. So now the Biden administration is going to say, if you don't take this vaccine, we're going to fire you and create a greater problem for the citizens of the United States of America. Does that mean citizens won't be able to get health care because the health care providers are refusing in many cases to take the vaccine because they know what's in it and they're scared of it? And I've even seen cases, Mike and John, where in the area where I live in the mountains of North Carolina, we've had physicians who have sent letters to their patients and said, we're going to refuse to treat you no matter what your sickness is if you've not taken this vaccine. It's criminal, it's wrong, and it's going to destroy our society.
That's right, Chris. And as we talked about earlier in the show, we do know that there are serious side effects, adverse reactions that have been happening from people who take these vaccines, including death. And we're finding in young males that they have it affects their heart. I forget the technical scientific name for it, but it causes an inflammation of the lining around the heart and causes very serious complications in young, healthy males. And as I stated just before the break, that there is a flight surgeon who has come out and said that any pilot who has taken this, the vaccines, they should be grounded, because she has observed that after they have taken a vaccine, that they have had very serious side effects. And her concern is that as they are piloting a plane, one of these adverse reactions might happen where they then become a danger not only to themselves, but to anyone who is in that plane and those on the ground should the plane crash. But as we get back to the civilian world, as I'm reading from this article from the Mises Institute, that we're talking about these COVID certificates that are being passed out by people who, particularly in Europe, but if it's happening in Europe, folks, you can expect it to start moving over this way, especially with this Biden regime now, who wants to take us towards the direction of a one-world government. The article goes on to say, the introduction of COVID certificates is not essentially related to the idea of preventing the spread of the more contagious Delta variant, because if they were, another lockdown would very likely be proposed as a solution. In such a case, a lockdown would disable both the unvaccinated and the vaccinated, who clearly spread the virus too. The vaccinated are also spreading the virus. Okay, so the idea of the lockdown would be to from contaminating others. COVID certificates, get this, COVID certificates favor vaccinated populations because they have adhered to desirable behavior during the pandemic. Thus, they are rewarded with a permit for things that normally do not require permission, such as restaurants, shops, theaters, and so forth. On the other hand, as the unvaccinated understand the new measures, these are directed towards punishing them. Chris, what are your thoughts on that? That it's not about controlling the virus, it's about controlling behavior and giving rewards to those who have been vaccinated and punishing those who have not been vaccinated.
It is about controlling behavior, and it's about conditioning us to get ready to accept anything that the government gives us. This is a huge issue in larger cities across the nation right now. In the larger cities, you can't go to restaurants. You can't do business in areas if you have not had the vaccine. Just yesterday, I was going to take my family to see a play this weekend. And when I went to buy the tickets, right before you buy the tickets, they told you if you were not vaccinated, you couldn't attend the play. Well, that company's lost my business forever. But it is about control, Mike. I don't understand the fear. The danger is to the unvaccinated, not the vaccinated. So if, first they told you if you stayed home for 2 weeks, then they said if you wore a mask, if you wear a mask, you can't get sick. Well, then what do they care? Now it's a vaccine and a mask. Well, if you've got a vaccine and a mask, it should not matter to you whether or not I'm vaccinated, because if you've got the vaccine and the mask, and if the vaccine and mask can work, if they work, why do you care whether or not I have it? I'm only endangering myself if I don't have a vaccine or a mask on, but that's not the way they're presenting it to the government. And if they hadn't gone so crazy, Mike, I think a lot more people would have gotten it, but the story kept changing. It was always different about what they said would or wouldn't work. People thought they were going to have more freedom if they got the vaccine, so some people just hadn't had a chance to get it yet. But then when they saw the government go crazy after others had had the vaccine, then they thought, well, what is the benefit? So for some people, it's not a religious thing. It's just, what is there a benefit if they're going to keep changing the rules every 2 weeks?
That's right, Chris. You know, and we find that, as it states in this article, that people who have been vaccinated are also spreading the Delta variant. That people who are vaccinated are spreading the Delta variant of the COVID-19 virus to those who are unvaccinated, and also to those who have also been vaccinated. And then they're finding that the vaccine itself, Pfizer, has come out and admitted this. They said that it is not as effective as we originally thought, and you're going to require a booster shot. And they're talking
and Mike,
about...
there's no end. I mean, I would like to know who owns these companies where the government is making, because now they're basically just pushing Pfizer and Moderna. They don't even really want you to take the Johnson & Johnson anymore. And so how much is enough? How many boosters do you have to take? It's kind of the same thing with the flu. You know, a flu shot is just the best guess based on what happened last year, but there's no guarantee that a flu shot or a booster is going to protect you from the flu. And the same is the case here, but companies are getting filthy, stinking rich off of this. Hospitals want you to have some kind of proof that you've had COVID because the federal government is funding them. It is big business to claim that your patients have COVID.
That's right, Chris. You know, if you go into the hospital for pneumonia, the hospital can charge a certain amount, or they're being reimbursed at a certain amount for that. And let's just use a figure and say it's $350. But if you are a COVID patient, then the government will pay that same hospital $3,000 or more for being a COVID patient. So it's all about big money, and it is sinister and it is evil. We have these vaccine manufacturers, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson, who are now trying to develop a vaccine, a COVID vaccine for children from ages 5 to 12, even though the likelihood, first of all, of children getting sick from COVID is minuscule. It is less than 1% that the chance of them even getting sick. And then the likelihood of them dying should they get sick is like 0.00050 1% chance that they will die from the COVID-19 virus. So why on earth would you give them a vaccine that, first of all, is experimental, has many and several adverse side effects, and then on top of all that, it's not that effective, and it has to be have a booster as soon as 5 months after you've gotten it? I think I saw in the news yesterday or the day before where Joe Biden was getting a shot, if he actually was. It may have been fake, but that's his third shot now. He had his second shot in January. Now here he is getting his third shot. When is he going to need another shot? Chris, we have about 2 minutes left on the show. Would like you to help close out to encourage our listening audience. What should they be doing right now as we see what's happening around the U.S. and around the world? What should be their thought process? What should they be doing?
Well, Mike, first we need to wake up and we need to get educated and realize that this is about control. And for those of you listening, Mike and I are not saying that COVID is not real. It's real. People are sick and some people die from it, but it's a very small minority. And we need to not allow this precedent to be set where our federal government can control our economy and everything we do by forcing us to take a vaccine, because this will just be the beginning. So people, you need to get registered to vote. We have some major elections coming up next year. Elections matter. We're reaping the results of that right now. So get registered to vote, get educated, and get on your knees and pray. We need to turn this nation back to Jesus and impact the culture for Jesus. And only then will we see the changes that we need to see in our nation.
Absolutely, Chris. You said so much in that 1 minute that need to get engaged, need to educate yourself, need to vote. And as you said, we need to pray. This is Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood's son passed away yesterday. Saints, we ask you to continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family. Pray for this nation. Don't be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. Have a blessed day and do not be afraid.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.